You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined today by Christina Trinidad. You can find Christina at Christina Makes, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Makes, and her new site, Oils with Christina. Welcome, Christina Trinidad.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I missed you last month. I mean, what are you even having a life? You're not supposed to have a life when I meet you.
I know. I'm working on it. I am. I'm working on narrowing it down a little bit for you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. So how's your Lent going?
My Lent is, I think, going okay. If by okay, you mean monkey wrenches, suffering, lots of prayer, humility, then I'm got all that in spades, girl.
Good. Lent is... Lent is an interesting time of the year. Yeah. I feel like all this stuff happens the rest of the time of the year, but there's just something about when it happens during Lent, just a little bit more aware of it, maybe because we're already, you know, giving up things or like looking for ways to grow closer to Christ by sacrificing or adding.
I also think it's because all I'm doing is praying the sorrowful mysteries every single day. So you're always in like that penitential kind of mindset and you know it's leading up to his death. And I mean, it's resurrection too, but like you walk with him every single day and you know, back and forth with when I pray my rosary. Yeah, I do it from the perspective of Jesus and I do it from the perspective of Mary. Just so that, you know, I'm always in that penitential mindset. So, and then I think it was last week when I went to adoration, they covered all of the statues and the cross. And I found myself in adoration for the first time, just restless and anxious and worried. And I didn't know why. And I was so frustrated. And I walked out and I said, it's because I couldn't see you. I mean, I see him, but I couldn't see him. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, So I think we're just more conscious and aware of it. And especially if we adjust our attitudes and our minds towards the season of Lent and the time that we're in, I think that kind of makes it more palpable, the whole giving up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No, you know, they covered her stuff in our church last week too. And I know that they cover it, but I never, for some reason, noticed it. Yeah. That early in Lent before.
Me either. Me either. I sent a text to my friend Tiffany. What is happening in this world that we are covering up Jesus a week early? I thought it was a week early. She's like, no, it's not early. I was like, well, it feels really early.
Yeah, it does. My friend said the same thing. She said, okay, I sat here for a while thinking, have I really been that distracted all Lent that I didn't notice these were all covered? Or is it just new this year? Like, no, I knew they covered it. But
or that the time flew by so quickly that I was just so into my Lent that all of a sudden we're there. But like Holy Week is next week, girl.
I know. I'm so excited. I love Holy Week. I really do. I'm so such a Catholic dork. I just love.
So do I. I have my schedule. Yep. I have my schedule up on the fridge. I've circled all the masses that I'm going to and everything that I'm going to do. I've got all my outfits picked out. Like I'm ready to go.
So excited. Outfits I don't have, but well, because I signed the mass for faith. So I'm usually just in a black shirt because I need to be with my hands contrasting my my outfit so that she can see me better. Though Sunday I got dressed and I said, Faithy, I love you. And I know that you'll be able to understand me. Even if I wear this muted yellow and green sweatshirt, that's like one of my, it's like a, you know, like a poncho-y kind of thing. I'm like, I love this and I never get to wear it and spring's almost here. So she's like, Mom, it's fine. It's totally fine. We can wear whatever you want. I'm like, well, you say that, but at the end of Palm Sunday Mass, you may feel very differently if I'm in like purple polka dots.
I'd feel differently if you were in purple polka dots. I don't know.
I will go back. Go back to wearing the black. I mean, for Lent, it doesn't feel so bad, but that Easter morning when everybody's in their pretty little dresses and you're showing up in your morning clothes, you're like, you know what? But Faithy's very good natured. She's like, you know, as long as it's solid, Mom, I'm good.
Such a peach.
Yeah. So what have you been doing for Lent? Like, what is your prayer, sacrifice, prayer, fasting, and offering been?
So I gave up cursing.
How's that going for you?
I am a truck driver. It's actually going very well. When did I slip up? I slipped up because we were talking about my older son going to high school. Oh. And, you know, with anxiety and panic set in, and I just let a word slip. And my husband looked at me and he went, that's it. Lent's over. I was like, no, Lent's not over. That's not what that means. He was like, you have to flog yourself with all the things. You've ruined your life. Like, I'm like, no, so he's just funny. Messing with me, obviously. But yeah, so I gave up cursing for Lent. And then I have been reading the Blessed Is She Put On Love devotional every single night or day, whenever. I already read it this morning. And then I added an extra mass a week, and I added an extra hour of adoration every week. I signed up, put my name down so that there were no excuses, and I committed to it and did it.
That is such an important point you just made, the adoration hour, of like signing up and making yourself the one accountable for that hour. That was exactly how I started to make a holy hour. I thought there's no way in my busy life. And I started doing this, gosh, like 10 years ago when I had little guys and they were soccer players and Saturdays were soccer games. I thought, I'm a soccer mom. I cannot be signing up. But the only time my church at that time had available was 2:30 to 3:30 on a Saturday. And I thought, that's insane. That's not going to happen. But I had a friend at the church. Her mom was like my seed planter, like that one that really inspired me in faith. And she's like, just sign up. You can do this. And she's like, if you can't make it, there's people who can cover, but just try it. And, you know, it was amazing. Each week, the Lord like would find ways to, their games would be at 4, or it would be raining, or, you know, our it was just amazing. I always found time, and it transformed my faith. I don't know, you know, how you feel adoration. It just seems like such a weird thing to go sit, you know, in the quiet with, you know, well, of course, we believe we're sitting there with Jesus, but to the outside world, we're just sitting there with this big gold thing on an altar with a piece of bread in it. But yet, you know, it's transformative. I feel like I know it's Jesus there because it's just so transformative to me.
Right.
What do you feel adoration does for you?
Adoration, you know, I had someone say, and I'm sure it's been said a million times over, but you know, the more you say you don't have time to go to adoration, the more you need it.
Yes.
Right. So, yes. Like my husband has no time and I'm like, you have no idea how much you need Jesus. So, I find that it kind of, it grounds me very much, because I tend to worry a lot and I've got a servant's heart where my family is concerned. I mean, certainly with everybody else, but with my family, and I'm always the one, I take motherhood to the extreme, right? So I'm always taking care of my children. I'm always taking care of my husband, going above and beyond and always trying to make them feel comforted, safe, and peace. And that can wear you down and that can tire you out. And you can get frazzled and you can get stressed and it's alienating a little bit. And it's my own fault that I do it. But going to adoration fills me up with the presence of Jesus and the love that he has for me. And knowing that the moment I was created, I was his and I was loved and I was cherished and he always wants me to be at peace and loved and know that he's there with me in everything that I do and all of the care that I give. And, you know, it just gives me that strength that I need to continue pushing forward and being the caretaker that I know my family needs and the rock that they need. So for me, adoration is transformative in that it's nourishing for me. Mm. It's nourishing for my soul. It's nourishing for my mind. Even from a physical standpoint, it's so quiet in there, you could hear a pin drop, that even when you hear somebody talking outside, everybody, whoever is in adoration, makes the face like, do you mind? This is like more than a library up in here. So even if they're saying, you know, God bless you, I hope you have a great day, we're all giving whoever it is outside the stink eye, because this is our like haven of peace and where we come to fill up so that we can then pour out like he does for us every single day.
I so, love in that Teresa, respect. St. Teresa of Avila said it was our foretaste of heaven. And yes. it truly is because wherever Jesus is, or heaven is, it's not like he separates himself from there. He mm-hmm. is in heaven. And when we're with him in adoration, where the Eucharist is present, and of course, it took me a long time to understand that we even believe this, and I don't obviously completely comprehend it because it's incomprehensible, but that he is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We are with Christ, and wherever we're with Christ, then we're in heaven, and it is that foretaste, and you get those moments of peace. I have issues with people who mumble pray out loud.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, I know, like, they're here, and Lord, they're so pouring their hearts out to you. They probably don't even know they're doing it, but that's where my stink eye comes in.
Yeah, but pour it out quietly, you know,
exactly.
Like, pour it out like you're in a library. Let's do that.
Exactly. Because I don't have a whole lot of attention in span. And if you are, so we even have, like, we can play music in our chapel. Our chapel is tiny. It's like one of those little, like, well, I don't want to say like a short bus, but it's like that small. It's tiny. It's beautiful, but it's tiny. And I'll put the music on, and then that still doesn't. Sometimes I just have to pray, like, God, you obviously have a reason for this. You're teaching me something, and I'm clearly failing
because I'm all of this noise, Jesus. No, I mean, us, we have to keep it, it's obviously very quiet. You can hear a pin drop. There's no music at all whatsoever.
Speaking of music,
just,
I think
we never
I'm gonna have to hold you. Yep, there it is. Hold that thought. We'll pick it right back on the other side of this commercial. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are joined this Friday by Christina Trinidad. And you can see some of the beautiful stuff she makes over at Christina Makes. And you can learn about her new business, Oils with Christina, over at, of all things, Oils with Christina. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Christina, I cut you off. Well, the music
That's
cut
okay.
you off. I had nothing to
That's
do
okay.
with it. We were talking about okay. adoration and how that transforms you.
Well, the only thing I was going to add is just for people to think about, you know, we're so inundated by noise and constant interruption and the phone and the kids and the dog. And I'm just looking at my dog. That's why I mentioned her. she's got the life of Riley sleeping all day. So, you know, and everybody needs our time. Everybody needs a piece of us. But when we go to adoration, we give ourselves to him and we have that quiet. We can't be disturbed there. We can't have our phone there. I mean, certainly if you're using it to pray, that's one thing, but I highly recommend you go old school. I bring my catechism with me and my Bible with me. And I just, I'm in quiet. That's the only place you're ever going to get an hour of true, true, true peace before heaven. That's
Absolutely.
All I'm saying.
I agree with you. And St. Yeah. Francis de Sales that said, everybody needs to pray a half an hour a day. And if you're busy, you need to pray an hour.
Love that
love
man.
That.
He's awesome. Such a beast. I love him.
He is fantastic. I could read his, is it Introduction to the Devout Life?
Devout Life. Yes. Yeah. Devout Life. Could, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because he was a spiritual director and he, you know, was a spiritual director to lay women and to women. And he understood the busyness of our lives, the complications that come from being a wife, a mom, a woman, even though he wasn't a woman, but he just had such great
insight.
Advice. Insight. Great word. And what he didn't get, St. Jane D. Chantal did. So
oh, yes.
the two of them, rock stars, love their stuff.
Total.
And I never would have thought to read them ever before. I was like, oh, saints, they don't have a clue what life is like. They're like nuns and priests and they're holy. And yeah, no, they totally do. They totally get it.
Yeah. I went to, if you can believe it or not, I mean, I'm sure you can, but I went to a confirmation meeting for my son last night. Holy
wow.
cow. So we're going to be making confirmation next year. And he's been preparing for this since the moment he learned he was going to be confirmed when he was in third grade. He already has a saint picked out. He already did a saint project. He already knows who his confirmation sponsor is. He's already got his service hours ready to go. He is, and all he has left to do is write a letter to Monsignor. But he is just so ready to be confirmed. And I forgot the point of this, but the point is that, I guess, the sacraments or something, I really just, you're right. And you know what it is? Cause you told me, you said, Christina, I'm so sorry. I cut you off. I'm going to set you back. And now I completely, like I don't remember where I was going with it.
Yeah. I completely stomped you up. Like I just, every time you try, like the third time, a couple times on air and a couple times off air. So I'm just here today to pretty much make speaking impossible for you. You're welcome. Girl,
I have a good time with you. I have a good time with you. It doesn't matter.
Way to make your guests feel welcome and comfortable. That's my guest today is Christina Trinidad. And we're talking about Lent. We're talking about confirmation. You told me you're going to be a confirmation sponsor. Not once.
I was. Twice. I did already. I was confirmation sponsor twice to two teenagers, lovely teenagers. A boy, a young man and a young woman. So if you can picture it, I'm 4'11". And of course, these teenagers tower above me. And they had to be last because I was the only one doing two. And they come from different sides of the church. So the boys are on one side and the girls are on the other. So I'm trying to put my hand on their shoulder. And I look like I've got my hand straight up, like I'm trying to block a basketball shot because they're so tall and I could barely get their shoulder. And my senior like looks at me and he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, yep, just hurry up. I got my heels on. Let's go. Come on. Let's do this. Amen. Thank you. It was great. I got to confirm to Confirmati, I guess, this year. And I just found out that I was chosen to have my feet washed on Holy Thursday. I got to get a pedicure. So my, like, you know, you've got that one nail that's crazy that you do everything to fix it, but like over the winter you ignore it, you know? Yeah. So I gotta drill that one down. I'm making myself sound like I've got hooves. I don't. So it was originally meant for my husband, but he's going to be in Switzerland, next week. And thank God he's not going to be away for Easter because this will have been the third year I was alone for Easter.
Oh, no.
Because he was traveling for work. Yeah. So he'll be home late Thursday night. And then he goes back out again on Monday. So
is this your first time having your feet washed?
Yeah, girl.
All right. So I have a couple of feet washing stories I have to share with you. So the first time we got asked, I had two little boys and I had come back to the church, but I wasn't really in it to win it. I was just participating. It was like my get out of hell free card. I wanted perfect attendance just in case this whole God thing was real. And so when I got asked, our whole family got asked, my husband, myself, and the two boys, I didn't have faith at the time yet, literally and figuratively. I didn't have any faith. Ran out and got the pedicure. I can totally understand that. And I still think you should do that. I don't think there's anything wrong in that. But I ran out, got the pedicure, bought the boys matching clothes.
Right.
And we stood there like with the whole church looking at us. I was just beaming like, aren't we the perfect cute little family?
Right.
And I had our feet washed. Didn't think anything about it. I'm like, wore sandals, even though I live in New England. It was like 30 degrees out freezing that day. But,
right. But
you know, I didn't want my feet to smell. I had thought this all the way through. So fast forward about 6 years and everything has changed. We have switched church because, we got very, very involved. And then my four best friends left the church to become evangelicals. And I couldn't go to our old church anymore because the memories were just too much. Because unfortunately, it also led to a complete meltdown of our relationship, our friendship. But lots of involved in that. But so here we are at a new church. We're getting involved again. This time, my heart is very much different. I'm reading the scriptures every day. I'm building a relationship with Christ. And we get asked again. The boys now are like adolescents, preteens, and like, no way are we going to sit up there in front of all of our new friends. So it was just, it was just me and my husband, and I get put on the end, and right next to me is this wonderful young little girl who's in a wheelchair. She is, she's multiple, she's very involved. Her disabilities are very involved, and she's, her dad's a single dad, and just a beautiful witness. Like she gets so excited at the time for the to receive the host. And here we are. She's next to me. And we're at the end. And she's watching Father get closer and closer. And she is just beside herself with glee. And I realize, like, what's happening at that moment. Like, she sees Jesus coming to wash her feet. She sees, like, the humility and the beauty of that moment that I have missed 5 years ago or 6 years ago at that time. I start to bawl. And, of course, now the whole church is looking at me. And I'm trying not to... To make eye contact, kind of look down. I thought, what? And I had no pedicure that time. I think I took off my socks. The poor priest, he was definitely earning his money that day. And I thought, Lord, what a difference, you know, from that, those two perspectives. But it's very humbling. It's so beautiful. And it's great honor. So I'm very excited, you know, to hear how your foot washing experience goes. Just be in the moment, because it's quite that, like, living that moment with Christ. You know?
I'm gonna do what I can and hope I pick the right color.
Go with purple.
Oh, right. I totally should. You're right. I should do that, because I was going to go with, like, something like very neutral, so I didn't, like, shock the priest when he looked at my toes like, I wasn't expecting that. Kind of like when I take off my sweater, I wear a cardigan usually for the longest time when I went to church. And for the first time when I took off my cardigan and just wore short sleeve, the look of shock when they saw the tattoos, they were like, what? We were not expecting that. I was like, I know. It's shocking. I hear that a lot.
Your tattoos are not little. Those are some big, yeah, big, beautiful tattoos you got there.
Both arms, girl, and my back. Yes, 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 yes. So I'm going to pick a good color. Yeah. Not shocking.
And our new church, now we're on to our third church. It's not like a church shop, but a kind of church shop. This one we just discovered was closer to our house than the one we were going to. And this is where they had adoration every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's Holy Family in East Taunton. And this priest does not invite women to the foot washing, which of course is very controversial and people get angry, mm-hmm. but it's because, I mean, he may have many different reasons, but one of them has to be that when he finishes washing the foot, he kisses it. Yeah. So my husband had no clue, and he got asked, and he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll do that. Cause, like, I've done it a couple times before. The look on his face when Father Kevin bent down and kissed his foot was like, holy moly, that was humbling. Talk about, like, even just doing it is humbling. That is, so, I mean, it makes some sense that he doesn't have women, but anyway, it's a controversial thing. I love the idea of the 12 men because it reminds me, like, what we're reenacting, what we're reliving, but I also get the understanding of the building of community and inclusion. It's the Catholic universal. I get all that. It's all beautiful. Either way,
it is.
But it's pretty powerful to see that. We come back with Christina Trinidad. Again, you can find all her things over at Christina Makes or Oils with Christina, CRISTINA. We are going to continue to talk about Lent. I have a few more questions about Lent and Holy Week I'd love to talk to her about. And then we're going to look at the book called The Well by Stephanie Lansom. Stephanie was here a few months ago. She's one of the authors of Walk in Her Sandals, the Lenten book club that I've been facilitating over on Facebook and again on CatholicVineyard.com. The Well is the story based on the novel. She writes biblical fiction, and it's based on the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, which we've been talking about all week. And Christina happens to be reading it, and I thought, oh my goodness, that is the
Holy
Spirit.
Well, I finished it.
Good, then you can help me because I haven't yet. But it's so, she's so incredible. Stephanie's writing is just, I can't even explain it.
Amazing.
Good word. We're going to talk more about that as well. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Christina Trinidad. You can visit Christina Makes, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, makes.com or Oils with Christina to learn more about some of the beautiful stuff she makes in her new business selling oils. So we're talking about Lent and... Mm-hmm. We wanted to skip back a little bit because we kind of moved forward before I was ready to, but talking about the idea of the three pillars of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And as a kid, I was always told you just give up chocolate. It's what you do. It's all you have to do. You just give up chocolate. And it had really no meaning to it. It was, you know, it was supposed to be some sacrifice, and I knew I was supposed to, but I never knew why. So now I choose things to help me grow closer to Christ, obviously, but also things about me that I want to continue beyond Lent. And this is kind of a new thought process that started just a few years ago for me. One of the things I fast from is television. And I am amazed at how much more time I have. Like, the productivity goes up.
Yeah.
And I know... Like, I think I'll do pretty well not watching television until, like, Christmas comes and the Hallmark movies start again.
Yeah, really?
And it's also baseball season. I'm a huge sports fan. But I really have been amazed. I only watched Saturday night and Sunday. That's the only time I gave myself to watch this whole Lent. And so my question to you is, like, you gave up swearing. Are you hoping that... You know, moving beyond Lent, this is something that becomes a permanent part of you. Why did you choose that? Like,
so, I mean, because my kids don't like it. And I ask them all the time. I always want honest and direct feedback. I don't care who it's from.
Yeah.
But especially my kids, because they look up to me and I should be a model for them. So, we were talking about and discussing, and we start discussing what we're going to give up for Lent, like the Lent before. So, So they wanted me to give it up because, you know, they go back to the scripture verse that says, you know, you can't let cursing and blessings come out of your mouth at the same time. So I can't remember where it's from because I need more coffee in my life, but, so there's that. And, there was a time. Yeah, I think it is James. When I first converted to the faith, I stopped cursing for like a year and a half. And then, it's almost like a cigarette like thing, right? I guess people would have, and then I went back to it. I'm hoping that it sticks. My chantics of cursing, I hope it sticks. So I've never been a smoker. I've never even tried a cigarette, but I'm assuming that that's what it's like. I've looked into it to see if there's an oil for keeping me from cursing, and there isn't. So
try though.
I really did. I searched. I was like, you know, for cursing, but no, there's no such thing. Maybe frankincense, because that's like a Jesus oil. I don't know. So, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just making it up. I'm going to try and stick with it. And what's funny is, and I guess too, it's the same thing with people who are like addicted to cigarettes, I guess, is I was sitting in my classroom because I go to school Mondays and Wednesdays, and I'm listening to these young women talk, and their conversation is peppered with cursing. And I'm like, wow, that really does sound rough.
Yeah.
Not bad, but it jars you a little bit. And I'm not saying it's because women shouldn't be cursing and it's only a men thing. I'm just saying because it was restricted from my life, you know? Intentionally. It's almost like when your husband brings up, hey, I know this is so bizarre, do you want a Hyundai Santa Fe next time I get you a car? And I'm like, I've never seen it. You see it everywhere. So like with the curse,
oh, funny. Yes.
I didn't notice it before. And once I stopped, I hear it everywhere. So, I think I'm going to do my best to stick with it. It's just hard, man. Brooklyn girl, you got to let those F-bombs fly, man. It's rough. So I'm going to do my best.
My son is from video games. I'm pretty sure he just really, like, every other word is a sentence enhancer. And he's like, I can control it. Until his 21st birthday, we brought him out to lunch with his grandmother. And he's never sworn a day in her life. And I was like, what do you want to drink? He's like, I don't know. Surprise me. So I got him a margarita. I thought, that's not that hard, right? That's like margaritas. They're like a girly drink, right? Fufu drink.
Honey, no, that's tequila.
Yeah. He was drunk and he didn't tell me he hadn't eaten for the day. So before his food even got there, he had said an F-bomb like 3 times in front of his grandmother. And so she just laughs at him. She's not a, you know, she just finds him funny, but he was mortified. And I said, see, you think you can control that? He goes, yeah, but I'm not usually drunk in front of my grandmother and I'm not drunk at work. Like I'm just saying,
aww.
You don't have as much control over it as you think. So there's his,
I didn't have to give up drinking because there's a medication that I'm on. So I don't even want to drink anymore. Like I haven't had anything to drink since Christmas. So I don't miss wine or anything like that. So I couldn't give that up. I'm sorry. I can't give up chocolate. I'm working out and I'm eating really healthy and clean. And the last thing I need to do is give up my snack of one dark chocolate square with a slather of chunky peanut butter on it. Like, yeah, God wants me to have it, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I think he said that. That's a yummy thing.
Adoration. In your life. Yeah.
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 Too funny. So we're both kind of, we talked about the rosary before we went live, and I had actually made a note of it. So I guess the Holy Spirit wants us to talk a little bit about that. First of all, I just want to kind of throw out that, you know, there's some unrest going on in the world right now. I'm not one of those people who talks about that stuff on my show. I feel like there's enough of that out there. I like to try to keep nothing's light and lively, but faithful and encouraging. But one of the things that our Blessed Mother tells us all the time is to pray the rosary for peace. So if you're feeling unrest or you're feeling anxious, like I just live in the world of anxiety, to pray the rosary to give us, you know, that peace, to pray for the peace in the world, that I know that I truly believe we're in that 1,000 years of peace that our Blessed Mother said we would have it if Russia was consecrated. And I know that John Paul II did that. So I feel like that kind of gives me some peace in my own heart. But I'm certainly going to continue and I'm going to up my praying the rosary and not be so lackadaisical that I can be. But one of the things I've realized and I want to talk to you a little bit about was that, you know, having no attention span whatsoever, that it helps me to have like the decade be, you know, for some purpose. And I've realized that with my 7 godchildren, including my confirmation sponsors, which I instantly make my godchildren because it's completion of their baptism. I just make them my godchildren. And then my husband's 3, that they fit into a decade. So I was praying the luminous mystery and I got to Jesus's baptism. I'm like, oh, this is the perfect place to pray for these little peeps.
Now,
you mentioned at the first section, and I'll just kind of go over that a little bit more, that are you really praying the sorrowful mysteries every day?
Every day, girl.
And why? Why did you choose? Like, is that something that you read about?
Lent, penitential. And I go to adoration on Tuesday, which is a penitential day. And I go to mass on Friday, which is another penitential day. Ah. So I really I am in the trenches. I am in it deep because I want to feel it. I want to live it. I want to know it so that when Easter comes, he is risen. Alleluia. Party time. Bring on the curse words. No, don't bring on the curse words.
Bring on the more 2 pieces of chocolate. And
right. Yeah, girl. the chocolate. You get a chocolate. Yeah.
For Lent, maybe you should have gone to the creamy peanut butter. There would have been a sacrilege.
Oh, how dare you, the sacrilege.
I knew you were going to say that.
You are a cruel person, man.
I am. But I do love that you've looking for ways to really feel the sacrifice of this Lenten period, to really, because it's, and one of the reasons that but in order to really experience good, sometimes, unfortunately, we have to experience bad. We have to have that opposite feeling to truly appreciate the good, to truly appreciate the peace, truly appreciate the joy. And I really love what you're saying, Christina. Again, my guest today is Christina Trinidad. Christina makes her oils with Christina for more on Christina and her wonderful world of things that she does.
There's a lot going on.
You do. I always have a lot going on. I love that about you. But no, I just, you know, really given me a lot to think about here on how to really enter into Lent. And I know we're coming to the end of this segment already, and we haven't talked about The Well. So we'll give the whole last segment to this wonderful book by Stephanie Lansom, The Well. But just any last thoughts about Lent before we move on to the next segment?
Last thoughts about Lent. I wish it were longer. That's
Me
my
too.
Last thought. Yeah.
Me too. I mean, I guess we can enter into our Easter and enjoy our Easter season, but then nothing says we can't, you know, incorporate or keep some of this going, like keep that extra mass going or keep that extra adoration.
And I'm hoping to do that as well. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because yes. I know I can make the time if it's really important. I've learned that over Lent. So I also wanted to learn that I could actually commit to that.
Oh, I love that. You know, I try to put things on my calendar because I feel like if it's on my calendar, I'm not going to ignore it. So extra prayer time, adoration
and
time.
And a reminder 24 hours in advance to say, hey, prepare yourself, girl. You're going to adoration tomorrow. Get your stuff together. Get your bag together with your Bible and your reading material and your rosary and all of your tools. And even if you don't have them, show up with nothing because he'll give you everything you need.
Amen. I forget what saint it was who said that it was his adoration time was just to sit with to look at Jesus and have Jesus look at him. Obviously, he did not have ADHD because I don't think I could have quite that attention span. But it also doesn't have to be an entire hour. If you only got 5 minutes extra to give to Jesus, you will be blessed with it. We come back, we have more with Christina Trinidad. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are joined today by Christina Trinidad. Christina Trinidad, you can find her over at ChristinaMakes.com and her new site, Oils with Christina. And Christina, you have something kind of cool you're going to be doing over there on the 18th. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm actually conducting an Oils of the Bible class where I discuss all of the oils in the Bible that are mentioned and that are available still to us to this day. And I'm doing a lot of research for it. And I came to find out that there are over 600 references to oils in the Bible. Wow. And there are, I believe, 15 to 30, I think, oils that we have access to now. And there's even like a recipe for that was in the Old Testament for how to anoint priests and how to cleanse the altar. And it's still, we have that recipe. It's in the Bible. And I'm going to share all of that in my class on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on the 18th. And it's going to be after Easter, the week after Easter on purpose so that we can just be all alive in the smells and bells of the season. Right. And so if anybody's interested in coming to that class, they just have to friend me on Facebook and then I can add them to the class. And you can find me at facebook.com/Christina. Oh, no, I'm sorry. C Trinidad 24. So it's CTRINIDAD 24. Trinidad is Spanish for Trinity. So you can't forget it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My name is Christina Trinidad and the first name means follower of Christ and my last name means Trinity or the Holy Trinity. So my name means follower of Christ and the Trinity.
Wow. I think, you know, even if you had never converted, you were totally meant to.
Right. That's what I said when I gave a talk. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's not like I had a choice. He dubbed me at birth.
I met Sarah Christmeyer, who is another author on Walk With Her Sandals. She writes the Entering the Scripture section. Mm-hmm. I said, that's the perfect last name for you. She's like, I know, I'm married into it. Isn't it awesome?
I'm married into that name, Trinidad. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So this week, Christina, we have been talking all week about the woman at the well. John 4, part of my Lenten mission this year was to read the Gospel of John for Lent. And So Monday we talked about the scripture verse, and Tuesday we ran the Colleen Mitchell interview. Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday was all about regrets, which is something I see with the woman in the well, and shared kind of my own journey of regrets, but how God does truly make all things new again. And we both had this book that we were both, you finished, I'm still working through it. I love it completely though. The Well from Stephanie Lansom. Tell me, to give us a synopsis. Tell us about it.
Fantastic. That's the synopsis. Like, if you need anything else from me. No, it's basically historical fiction. And I picked it up because Barb, the editor over at the Catholic Mom, posted it on her wall. And I'm always looking for like great reads. And the Samaritan Woman is like my parable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working in the Catholic Church for RCIA, and we had to do the scrutinies. I was all over that scrutiny like white on rice, because we are all at some point or other, especially as a woman, we are all that woman at the well. We are all ashamed of something or another that we've done, and we're looking for forgiveness and hoping that we find it, especially in the desert of our life, because that's when we truly need it. So I just love that. And so when I found this, I said, oh, I got to read it. And it's basically, she kind of, for me personally, fills in the gaps of the parable, like all the stuff that you could probably imagine if you had that kind of creative mind, what you couldn't see, what the road smelled like, how the dirt felt like, the heat, the smells of the cypress trees, and the way Jesus reaches out to her. And the Samaritan woman in the well is kind of not even really the main character. I don't want to give too much away. It's a couple of other people. It is just amazing. And I read that quickly because Barb mentioned that I'm going to want to read The Thief, which is the second book in the series, during Holy Week. So I start that. I don't even know what it's about. I didn't want to read anything about it. I didn't want to know anything about it. I just wanted to immerse myself in that and prepare myself, because she said it was going to be so good. Like, I really, like, I'm telling you, when I was reading that book, I had to canter. I canter every other weekend. And at church, and it's always the vigil mass. I like the more solemn, obviously penitential ones. And so I literally was like feeling like I wasn't going to be able to sing well. I was nervous. I was reading the book, The Well. And I just took a couple of drops of frankincense and put it on my face and went up there and got, and afterwards, after I finished, you know, singing the mass, I had so many people come up to me afterwards and say just how beautiful it was and how blessed they felt and how happy they were that I was there. I got so many hugs, more than usual. It's just, I think it's the book and just having that, like, she just makes it all so biblical. Times are like transformed and you see you're living in the, it's just, the book is insane, girl. I love it.
She is absolutely talented and gifted. And she goes to these places, like, she's able to describe them because Stephanie, it says here, she writes historical fiction because she loves adventure and far off times and places. In real life, she's explored ancient ruins, medieval castles, majestic cathedrals around the world. And no, lots of people can visit those places, but God has not gifted them all to then turn those into words that just knock
pop
your socks
off the page. Yes.
You totally feel like you're there. And I'm not a fiction reader at all. And I picked up this book and I thought, oh, I want to read it because I love Stephanie. I love what she's done in Walk in Her Sandals. I really, and I love A Woman in the Well. It's my, she's my spirit animal. Like, I just love that woman as well.
Oh, she's my spirit animal.
And then, you know, reading it, I felt like I was there, and she brings in these characters. Of course, it's fiction, but you can so see how this could have been.
Yeah. And then, like, even when the Samaritan woman is being stoned in the book, you can feel the stones hit you. You can see the blurred outlines of people through the black veil that she's wearing. You can feel it stick to your face. Like, she is so descriptive. It is so palpable. Mm-hmm. It is just a book of books. And I can't wait to read it again next year during Lent. I'm going to read it again, especially leading up to the week of the scrutinies for The Woman at the Well. And I'm looking forward to The Thief. And then there's a third book in the series that I can't quite recall right now, but you know I'm going to get that one too. So
yes. And in fact, I have it. And the name is, I'm so sorry, Stephanie. The name is escaping me, but I'll put that into the show notes. That it's a 3-part series. It's The Well, The Thief.
Living Water series. It's called The Living Water series.
Yes. Yes. So what? Sorry. I got so excited. Like, like, what's next?
You're welcome.
So this, reading historical fiction is such a great way it's such a great way to enter into scripture, especially if you're not familiar with it, if you struggle to understand it, understanding that she's not telling the whole story, but giving us this another way of entering into it. Was this your first time reading biblical fiction?
Yes. I'm usually all about the real stuff. Like not biblical fiction at all, or like Amish fiction or anything. I don't read any of that. It's either, nonfiction religious, content, or like the classics, like C.S. Lewis and, The Great Divorce, or, I just finished listening to the Screwtape Letters. Colleen Murphy Duggan suggested that I listen to them, and I was able to finish them. If you've ever tried reading that, you know that you try 17 times and you never finish it. It's really, 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 really great. It was a great introduction, and I need to find more.
The third one's called The Tomb. I had to Google it.
I was just texting you, girl.
Like, I know. It's another short, easy word. Why is it escaping me? So Stephanie Lanson's series is The Well, The Thief, and The Tomb. And, I have a degree in English. I know that you're working towards one, correct?
Yes. Master's degree in English, yeah.
Wonderful. So we both have this love for reading. And so perhaps that's why we were so drawn to this book. But someone who, like me, who never reads fiction, I'm hooked. I'm going to read the other two. That's going to be my Easter reading. I love the idea of reading The Thief. Maybe I spend 3 hours. I'm insane. So I spend the 3 hours, 12 through 3 on Good Friday in the church. Maybe this year I'll bring The Thief with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's about the other men hanging. Makes sense to me. Christina, it's been awesome having you with us again as we wrap up our Lenten season, our Lenten week. Anything you want to leave us with? Remind us again about that oils class, perhaps?
Yeah, my oils class is going to be on the 18th. It's at 7:00. You can find me on Facebook, which is at facebook.com/ctrinidad24, and you can find me on Oils with Christina on Instagram and Facebook. So I don't have a website for it yet. It's in the works, probably now. So I can't rest at anything. So I would love to have everybody and anybody join the class. I'm learning so much, and I can't wait, and would love to share it with everyone. And I wish everyone a very, very, very blessed Easter and end of Lent, and a beautiful Holy Week.
Well, I can't wait to have you back here next month to hear about how your Holy Thursday adventure went, how your Easter went, how your Holy Week. It's just such a blessed time of the year. Keep you in prayer, and we'll pray for everyone as we enter next week. We enter next week into Holy Week. Crazy that it's already here. Thank you, Christina Trinidad, for joining me today.
Thank you.
So next week, of course, we'll be having lots of shows about Holy Week, and I hope you will join us there. If you have any questions, always, you can reach me at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com, or you can visit Facebook, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.